John McKenzie, Far North Queensland's number one, 4CA.
Isn't it funny, everything now that's politically, or that's sensible, is politically incorrect, and as soon as it's politically incorrect, people shy away from pointing out, I mean, things that were blatantly obvious. Let's go to, everyone's saying, oh gee, electricity's getting dear. Well, have a listen to this. Energy billionaire Trevor Sinbago has issued an impassioned plea to both sides of politics, urging against the early retirement of the nation's coal-fired power stations, fearing that it will drive up prices and make it harder to keep the lights on. Now, he said it was time to get real about empty rhetoric on calls for more action on climate change. After the state faced skyrocketing wholesale power prices in recent weeks, founder of St. Baker Energy, the entrepreneur has financial interests that range from coal to renewables, batteries and electric vehicles as well. That's broad spectrum. Anyway, Mr. Stenbaker said electricity generation costs had quadrupled in recent weeks in Queensland, despite having the highest proportion of baseload coal-fired generation and record-breaking renewable solar generation uptake. Here's the quote. He said this, "The transition to decarbonising the electricity sector cannot afford any premature retirements of existing coal-fired dispatchable electricity generators, and probably also new dispatchable generators to provide for the increasing electricity generation demands of growing populations and the electrifying of the transport sector." Of course, this whole there's a whole new religion that's fundamentally emerged in recent years, and particularly very young people that don't seem to have a grasp of the importance of reliable energy. Oh, it's all about, oh, we've got to eliminate our 1.2% contribution to the world's carbon. I mean, seriously? Look what's happening in China. So they're going ahead with coal-fired power stations when they're desperately in Australia. These people, particularly young people, say, oh, we've got to close them all down. It's like a mortal sin. We'll go to hell if we don't close down and endure the prohibitive power prices and the lack of reliability they're all pushing us towards. Now, I've just put a call through to the Deputy Leader of the Nationals in the Senate. He's been quite outspoken on this front. Thank God he is. His name's Matt Canavan. He's on the line. G'day, Matt.
G'day, John. How you going, mate?
You're leading, I believe, a battle, you know, fundamentally representing common sense. Are you cutting through?
Well, I suppose that's up to the voters this weekend, John, but I know the Liberal National Party won't be seeking to shut down our coal-fired power stations early or to take away reliable energy from Australia. The Labor Party, though, their plan is to go to renewables of 80% by 2030, and that would be reckless. We should invest more in renewable energy, but not to that extent, because if we go up to 80% with power that's unreliable, it only is on during the weather, what's going to be there when it's cloudy or when we don't have a lot of wind? We've actually just experienced that the last few weeks. So I think you probably had it was a bit wet up there. It certainly wet down in central Queensland, and we had very low levels of solar power. At that time, the power prices went through the roof through Queensland and right through eastern Australia because there just wasn't enough reliable power around. So we can't afford to shut down more of this. We've got to actually invest in reliable power again. I think after election we're going to have a conversation on nuclear because we should seek to lower our carbon emissions, but we shouldn't do so at the expense of reliable energy.
Give us an update on what's happening in Queensland. Fundamentally, what are the dangers to us in Queensland?
Well, what's happening, John, is we've installed a lot of solar power over the last few years. And sometimes when it is sunny in the middle of the day, there is so much power that prices can even go negative. You might think, well, whip it will be, you know, I can get paid for using electricity. But that's only for a short period of the day. And what's happening is that's forcing some coal-fired power stations to shut. It's forcing our coal-fired power stations to be used in a way that is not what they were designed for, because they have to ramp up and down every day now. So in the middle of the day, they often shut down or shut down at their lowest capacity, and then they ramp back up at night when the sun sets. And that those pressure changes in the in those power stations are causing increasing issues, and you're seeing outages, more outages happening. And then when they totally go off the line, the coal-fired power station totally goes off the line, we end up short. Down there in New South Wales, they've shut the first of the four units at Liddell coal-fired power station. They did that on April the 1st this year. And since then, power prices have more than doubled in New South Wales and Queensland and other states. And so we're all connected here, and we've got to be really careful how we go forward. Otherwise, we'll end up with much, much higher power bills. and losing manufacturing jobs just when we need them most.
Of course, so many people these days, and particularly the Woke Brigade, are saying, oh, this is a huge contribution. 1.2% is how huge it is to the world's carbon issue. Now, can I ask you, you're probably across this. What's happening in China? What's happening in India when it comes to coal-fired power stations? I understand they're still building them.
Yeah, so China last year installed 38 gigawatts of new coal-fired power stations. To put that in context, they only have about 20 gigawatts of coal-fired power stations in Australia. So in effect, China installed almost double the total amount of coal-fired power stations in Australia in just one year. That was just the new power stations. They're also building another 100 on the books that planned at the moment. India's building about 40. India just the other day announced they're a bit short of coal at the moment. They've had a bit of a heat wave and they've had using more electricity than they thought. They just announced plans to expand coal production by 400 million tonnes a year, which is, again, it's actually double what we produce. There's just so much demand. I mean, our coal prices overnight are $390 a tonne US for thermal coal. They typically sit around 80 to 100. They're nearly four times their normal level right now because coal is so short. I was just out at the Claremont coal mine this morning. I'm in Claremont at the moment. Mm. And I met Ryan out there. He is trucking. He is picking up coal fines that are in dumps around this area because they were not worthy to be processed when the mining occurred.
Yeah.
He's trucking them in to Claremont mine. They're getting reprocessed into coal lumps and being resold to domestic users because there's just not enough coal. And it's so expensive right now they can do this and still make money. We are so short of energy in the Western world because right across, not just here in Australia, but in Europe in particular, in the US under the Biden administration, they've shut down energy production. And now because of the Ukraine war,
yes,
we don't have enough diesel. We don't have enough coal. We don't have enough gas. And that's why all the bills going up. Have you seen diesel prices lately? That's because Europe doesn't refine any or very much diesel anymore. It was reliant on Russia for diesel. Now, of course, they can't get it from Russia. And they're buying it up everywhere else. And it's short everywhere. And, you know, prices are back up to where they were before we took the 22 cents off because it's just so short across the global market.
I just had Warren Inch on the line a little while ago and he went out yesterday to talk to some senior citizens about their thoughts on what's going on with the election and he asked for questions from the audience. Apparently, people wanted to talk about nuclear power. Will it ever happen in Australia?
Well, look, I think we should have this conversation. I mean, you know, I've always been a little bit of a skeptic on nuclear because it has been quite expensive, proven quite expensive in Western countries. But look, if we want to reduce emissions, if we want to go to this net zero, which I personally think, you know, talking about something in 2050 is a little bit of a distraction when we've got plenty of problems to focus on today. But
exactly.
But if we want to get there, you know, we just can't do it with solar and wind. It's not, well, if you try to, you're going to end up with lots of blackouts and not much manufacturing industry. I don't think people want that. And so nuclear is an option. Europe is turning towards nuclear massively. Boris Johnson's announced that he wants to build a nuclear power station every year. Mm. France already relies about 70% of their power on nuclear, and they're going to start a new era of building nuclear power stations. And so this thing is done right around the world. We actually have the largest reserves of uranium.
Yes.
We export it around the world. So I do think it's something we should think about and talk about because life is about making choices. And I think I worry right now because we've had a relative time of prosperity in this country over the last couple of decades, we're avoiding some of the tough choices you need to make to avoid tough times in the future. If you don't make a tough choice today, you'll end up with tough times ahead. And I worry that, you know, we're ignoring a lot of those issues and just kicking the can down the road for our children, which is not fair on them.
Where are you going to spend Saturday at home in Rocky, I suppose, aren't you?
Well, actually, unfortunately, I will start there. I'll start there and have about an hour on some booze, but then I've got to fly to Sydney. I'm on the Channel 9's election coverage on Saturday night.
Excellent.
So, I mean, it'll be nice to get the... It'll be good to have someone from a regional area to have their views on the national stage, but I will miss being there with volunteers on the day. I usually sit at the Glenmore booth, which normally some, you know, fairly feisty Labor volunteers there, so we have a nice day and enjoy democracy, but I'll miss out on most of that on Saturday.
No sausage. All right, Matt, always good to catch up. Thank you.
You too, John. Have a good one, mate.
The democracy sausages. I love that term. Now, that's Matt Canavan. He's the deputy leader of the Nationals in the Senate. It's 19 to 11.